Welcome, witches. This is the Undercover Witch, and today we have Moon over Pisces, Lisa on, who is a healer and spiritual worker. Lisa, if you want to go ahead, you can introduce yourself.
Thank you very much for having me on here. I really appreciate it. I'm a multidimensional healer. I am a spiritual teacher, and I'm also a spiritual energy coach. I teach people how to, you know, manage their own spiritual and psychic abilities. I guess you could kind of call me a healer's healer.
I love that. So this is part of our psychic series, and the last person I had on was a psychic, and we often refer to him as the psychic. So I like that you have the healer's healer. It kind of is fitting in with our theme here. But I just wanted to get to know a little bit more about you. The whole point of this series is to talk about how you do your work, how do you connect with your clients, and what tips that you have for clients. Can you tell us more about the services specifically that you do?
Sure, yeah. So I have a couple different ways I approach my practice. I do hold private sessions with clients. It all depends on what they're really working on and what they want to work on. I do tend to kind of look at, because of the way we're moving through the ascension journey, I kind of like to look at, you know, what's happened in your childhood, what's happened in your past lives, and what are some of the generational things as far as traumas and karmas are concerned that we can work through. You know, maybe they have a specific behavioral pattern that they're looking to clear. So what we do is we sit and we have a conversation. And while we're having that conversation, I might use some Kundalini Reiki. I might guide them through a shamanic journey. I might channel light language to help with them. And then, of course, as always, you know, we need to study psychology as healers so that we can kind of understand how to work people through this. And a big part of that is just, you know, guiding them to pull back their energy, understand their energy, and build an authentic relationship with themselves. You know, my goal there is to help them live more on purpose and create things that they actually truly want in their life. The other part of my practice is that I do provide, you know, workshops and a lot of group coaching. I just find that this works better. I do one-on-one coaching, but I find that takes up a lot of my time, a little too much of my time at times. So I prefer to do kind of that group coaching thing. And the idea of that is to kind of provide that container for people to be able to learn and grow and share their own gifts. That's a big thing, is I want to empower people to accept their own gifts and share them, you know, whatever way that looks for them. And then encourage them to play with the energy and get to know it and how it works for them and how they can best learn to heal themselves.
I'm glad you said that. I definitely understand. I actually started out doing psychic readings and readings for people, and I moved to pushing them. I've turned more into a coach, or I usually say a guide, just to tell them, you know, how to connect with these things on their own. Why they shouldn't rely on readers for everything. I felt like I had like 2-hour conversations with some clients almost every day. And I was like, okay, now we're getting to the point where you're just asking me like what you should eat for breakfast. I think, you know, you got to figure out how to do some of these things on your own and connect on your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You did mention about learning a little bit about psychology, that it's important for us to understand how that works as spiritual workers. And I was watching some of your videos, and one of them stuck out to me because it was about disassociation. I completely related. So the idea of that was that disassociation isn't always necessarily a bad thing. It can help you connect with yourself. It can help you connect to those messages. But I have also personally been watching a lot of things about like Teal Swan and other readers that are big, or spiritual workers that are bigger, and they get a lot of flack for kind of using psychology to back them up. But I don't know, I think it's all connected. But I just wanted to know how that disassociation idea worked for you and how you kind of thought about that idea and put those things together.
Right. So in my work, a big part of my work is to heal myself as well as the people around me. And as I started really studying psychology and getting to understand it, it was always kind of told to me that, you know, disassociation is bad. You know, you can't be, you know, dissociated from life. You have to be part of your body and all of these things. And it really never resonated with me. It didn't sit right with me. So how it came up was about a week or two before I did that video. I have a very small group of healers that I'm very close with that live close to me. And when we feel called, we come together and we either work on each other or the earth or, you know, whatever it is that we're called to work on in that session. One of the sessions, I'm actually going to hopefully be doing a video soon with this particular healer, is she does something called quantum biofeedback. And one of the things that we were called to help heal was that disassociation and ADHD kind of type energy. But when we looked at it, we went, wait a second. When we do this, we feel disassociated. So then something just clicked with me and the notion wouldn't leave me alone. Why is this disassociation so important? And so that night, of course, as I do at night, I had a nice comfortable salt bath to relax. And it's where I get a lot of ideas and where I connect really well with the energy. Being a Pisces, you know, water is my jam. But it was very interesting that it came through that this is why light workers and light bearers and empaths and healers and all of those types of spiritual sensitives go through contracts where we experience incredibly difficult things, because, you know, we need to learn that skill of dissociation, because the dimensional aspect of being a spiritual healer requires you to be able to kind of step back from your body and watch the entire situation from all different perspectives. And so something that I'm noticing, so with people in my generation, I'm a Gen Xer, I was born in the late 70s, but I'm noticing people of my generation, maybe a little older, we have this ability to either be here or be there, you know, be here in the 3D or be off in the astral doing that thing. But one thing I'm noticing with these amazing children that are coming up, and I've even kind of noticed it in my own children, they're grown now, but when they were younger, they had this ability to kind of see what was going on around them as far as the dimensions were concerned, but also be able to be present in their bodies at the same time. So I think as we watch this kind of shift, we're going to notice that people are going to disassociate less and less, because it's going to become a natural part of who they are to be able to access the other dimensions without even thinking about it.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me. I kind of went through that same situation where I was kind of brought to this place where I was like, okay, we really got to work on this disassociation, versus now hearing not only from you, but from psychiatrists, psychologists that I've had to work with personally tell me, you know, it's actually not as bad as you think it is. It only, you know, can get in the way if it's taking over your whole life, which I do believe everything for sure in moderation. But with disassociation, it almost becomes a part of, like, I feel like it slowly becomes a part of your personality, and it just kind of hangs with you throughout the day. It makes it easier to see energies. It makes it easier for me to hear myself and what I'm wanting and what I'm bringing into my life. So I definitely see where you're going there, but I was really excited to watch that video. So thanks for putting that out.
You're very welcome.
I am interrupting this episode to remind you that if you have any ghost stories, paranormal experiences, or spiritual experiences that you would like to share on the podcast, to please email me at thewitchundercover@gmail.com or go in my links and fill out the form. That way we can do our third episode every month that is all ghost stories. I can go around and I can ask people I know for stories. I can go on Reddit, all those sorts of things. but I really want to make sure that I'm doing this series with things that y'all are interested in hearing about. So if you know anybody, go ahead and also tell them to send me their story if they want it shared on the podcast.
Do you have any specific advice for people in just the community that are just getting in that want to participate in these services? There's a lot of different services. You were just listing yours, and you know, we have multiple options. I remember when I was growing up, I heard a lot about tarot readings, and we're Mexican. So, you know, we have like the egg done and sweeping for the heavier things going on, but now there's Reiki, there's theta healing, there's a lot of different options, and not that they weren't there before, but now it's more mainstream. You have more access to it, more people are getting certified for these things. How would you suggest that clients pick out what's going to work best for them, and maybe go into a bit about how they pick the healer that would work best with them?
For sure. So kind of what I noticed, you know, when I was a beginner in this myself, it was, you know, someone around me had talked about going to a mediumship development group, which was kind of one of those strange things that I actually thought, oh, I'm going to be the next Teresa Caputo. That is not where this journey went, but that's okay. But a beginner might find something like, you know, someone says, hey, let's go to the local metaphysical shop. You know, they might buy some crystals and some incense, you know, and then they get a little interested in, oh, wait, tarot, what's that? And they want to learn it. And the next step, like you said, might be to go get a Reiki treatment or start investigating, you know, do you want to learn how to be a healer? Maybe you feel like you're a star seed, you know, then they're going to start wanting to get into things like shamanic healing and karma and twin flames and soulmates. And then this list starts popping up with them. And one of the things I find with people who are new to the journey, they're like, I want to learn everything all at once. Right. So my advice for that is pick something, learn as much as you want about it, and then move on to something else. Don't try and overwhelm yourself with trying to learn every single thing about every single spiritual concept there is, because you are exactly where you are meant to be on your journey, no matter what. And you're never going to get anywhere if you sit spinning your tires at 10 different subjects. Whereas if you focus on one subject, you're going to find things go a lot more smoothly. As far as picking someone, I always say, you know, if you're someone who is initially drawn to this journey, you're someone who's kind of always had those little hits of intuition. And whether you listen to them or not is really, you know, whether or not you're willing to begin to go on that journey. And so I say, pay attention to, you know, how does that person make you feel? You know, if you're looking at someone who's a scammer, they're going to gaslight you. They're going to demand more and more money. And they're not going to have a really nice feeling. I actually have a very interesting story about that. Back in, I don't know, 2008, 2009, when I really started to do this consciously, I went to a psychic fair in my hometown, and there was a gentleman there doing palm readings. And I was like, oh yeah, palm reading, that sounds really cool. So I basically had him tell me for $60 at that time, which, you know, 14, 15 years ago, that was a fair amount of money. That I was a healer, which, you know, I was very grateful for that. But the rest of what he told me really didn't make any sense. And I really felt like, man, I really didn't get my money's worth out of that. And, you know, and I've had people who have told me, you know, I don't resonate with your reading. Okay, here's your money back. So that's going to be something that they're going to, an ethical and integral healer or reader they're probably going to offer your money back. One, if you didn't go with enough of the time, or two, if you feel that they did not do what they said they were going to do. And then it was very interesting, actually, this past weekend, not this weekend, but a week ago, I actually went to another psychic fair just for fun because I hadn't been to one in years. And interestingly enough, that same man who told me that I was a healer 15 years ago was at this, and he was still doing the same shtick. He still had the same energy he'd always had of just being stagnant and stuck. And so it kind of was a big coming of full circle for me to see how much things had changed for me. And yet there are people out there who read for years and years and years and years, and they never change. So you're going to notice that an authentic healer will help you feel positive, uplifted. They want to empower you. They want you to live and speak your truth, you know, and the ones that are worth their fee are the ones that have experience. They have expertise in what they're doing. They prepare and they know how to teach you.
That's a really interesting story. I can't imagine that. And it's kind of crazy that he came back. I like things that go in these circles because it really shows me where I'm at. I used to not understand that. And over my guides would say, like, you'll see when it comes to it. And then it comes up and I'm like, oh my God, I get it. It only took me
exactly
100 years to understand, but now I get it.
Yeah. And that's something that I find too, like with myself, with my clients, you know, something will happen. And then 6 months down the road, you'll be like, wait a second. I get that loop. I get why that happened. Makes total sense. Okay. Sorry, I was such a jerk about it in the first place.
Right. Yeah. I've had a lot of clients and I recorded this recently about it and talked about it, but I've had some clients in the past who would come to me for readings who would be in complete denial of everything. And then in 6 months it would happen and they would be like, oh, and I was like, yeah. But they were just avoiding it, adamantly avoiding it. Like, I know, but I don't want to hear about that right now. Or I don't want to know about that right now. And I think as readers and spiritual workers, we do the same thing, but it can be kind of harder sometimes to convince us because I think sometimes that I know everything and I've kind of learned since then. But I used to think, no, I know that's not going to happen because I know what's going on in my life. And then 6 months later, whatever I'm avoiding comes in my face. And it's like, you have to face this now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually had a client, she would come to me for a reading for the same thing. And this went on for 4 or 5 months. She'd come once a month and it would be the same thing, the same boy in her life that she really didn't need in her life. Until I finally actually had to say to her, I don't think this is working out. I think you might need to actually go to another healer, another reader, because this isn't, you know, I tell you the same thing every time. And every time you're asking me to tell you something else, and I can't lie to you about what's going to happen and what I'm seeing happen. So yeah, we parted ways. And then she actually tried to get me to do another party for her and her friends. And I just said, you know, I really just don't think that we're a good fit to work together. And I haven't heard from her since. It really kind of showed me, you know, where I needed to set my boundaries as a healer too. And as a reader, if there are people who just really think that I'm going to just fix them just because they come to me, you know, that's not how healing works. I give you space to work on it, but in the end, you're the one who has to do the work.
Right. I think a lot of people come and they expect situations in their life to be healed. And that's not necessarily the case. It's you're here to work on yourself. And that's going to affect everything around you, for better for that situation or worse for that situation. But it, whatever comes out of it is hopefully the best for you.
Exactly. My husband practices ritual high magic. Mm-hmm. And I've started to learn from some of that myself as well. And one of the people that he's, you know, read some of their books and things, there's a phrase that came up, there is no magic without tears. And that really struck me, because in order for us to really create magic or create manifestation or whatever you want to call it in your life, the only thing that we can actually change is ourselves. So when we begin to change our attitudes and our ways of thinking about things, that is when we truly bring that magic into our lives. And so that's really stuck with me over the last couple of years that we've been studying that together. And to be able to understand that and be able to share that in a different way with my clients has really shown me, you know, what people are really capable of. And it's been pretty amazing.
That's beautiful. I love that saying, there's no magic without tears. That's absolutely beautiful. So as far as healers, other workers, other spiritual workers, do you have any advice for them, especially how we were just discussing when we have clients come up that don't resonate with our readings or who don't connect with us very well, how they should handle that or how they should uphold those boundaries?
Yeah, absolutely. The whole thing is with, you know, healers is and readers and, you know, whoever is doing any of this kind of work, boundaries are really important. When a client messages you at midnight, don't answer that, you know. They can wait till the next morning, because I don't know about you, but at midnight I'm in bed usually. Mm-hmm. You know, and make sure that they understand, this is what I offer, and you know, it's up to you to figure out whether that's truly worth it to you or not. And I would tell them, you know, don't go it alone. Find others with experience and invest in yourself. You're worth it, right? Like if you think someone's too expensive, where do you feel in yourself that investing in yourself is too expensive? And then charge what you're worth. Take a look around, see what other people are charging, and take a look at the amount of experience they have compared to yours and charge what you're worth.
Right.
And then the other thing I always tell people who are working, you know, with energy, take care of your nervous system. There's a lot that goes through your nervous system when you work with energy, whether you're just doing psychic readings or medium readings or a combination, or whether you're doing energy healing, your energy goes through your nervous system, and it's a very, very important part of your body to take care of.
Right. I agree for sure. Definitely. I've always talked about in past and saying that they're not always born, that they're made. They go through a lot of situations and experiences that make them sensitive. And even, you know, if we want to talk about like hard science that most people believe is like evidence-based, there's evidence there that proves that they perceive situations differently. They can react better to danger. They react quicker. They can read people better. But also when we talk about medical situations and diseases, there are certain things there that also connect with that empathic nature. So it's all connected. So it's really, really important to take care of yourself. And if you are feeling sick, to not just go in and like, I want to meet people anyway, or I still feel like I need to help these people, and not stop and take care of yourself, because you're not really helping anybody that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was probably one of my hardest fought lessons. I would go and work a full-time job and then come home and do readings at night. And it was really taking a toll on me, and I actually had to stop for a while.
Right. Yeah. I actually switched jobs recently because I've spending a lot of time at my other job, because I worked in a hospital, and I couldn't be open and closed and open and closed. It was like, something's got to give. So
exactly.
I kind of switched my life around. I did want to ask one question that I've kind of been just asking everybody that I know that does, who has experience with Reiki and different healings, is I noticed maybe a few years back, after I did my master attunement, that all of the Reiki practitioners that I knew, after they did Reiki on somebody, that person also got not only that healing session, but they got a little something extra, whether it was their manifestations came in quicker, or I know when I do mine, people get this burst of creativity. Like people who've never picked up a paintbrush are wanting to build something and paint something and write something. Like they just go into this creative mode. I have another healer who is, whenever he does his healings, it's very, very evident. You can tell, like physically, it's just so overwhelming. Like everybody kind of has their own special gifts they give when they do Reiki. Do you feel like you have noticed that or experienced anything like that?
Absolutely. I find that people tend to jump timelines. Mm-hmm. So they have accelerated growth. I've also kind of noticed that people are much more emotional and much open to their emotions after they work with me. And they just, they begin to activate their soul mission after they work with me.
I know, jumping through timelines and things like that. That was something so big in my childhood that I didn't know ever what was going on. And now as an adult, I have more control and can understand it a little bit more. So it's not as scary, but learning about that and going back, it definitely made me look at my childhood completely different.
I left off this podcast pretty awkward because I'm awkward. And as you can tell, I was a little bit awkward throughout the interview. It's been a while since I have interviewed somebody. So I kind of got back into the role of things towards the end. So I hope you enjoyed this. This very last section of this podcast is going to be about some of the services that Moon Over Pisces, Lisa, is offering at the end of this month in January and at the beginning of February, along with some services that she offers regularly throughout the year. So I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. And if y'all have anybody that y'all are interested in me interviewing, then let me know and I'll see about reaching out to them. But I also included Moon Over Pisces links in the description below. So if you're interested in any of her services or watching her YouTube podcast channel, then those will all be down below. All right. Later, witches.
I have a few programs coming up at the end of the month that I wouldn't mind talking about. We actually just came off a really great challenge that helped people kind of work through clearing that witch wound that we talk about, you know, that fear of working with energy and working with their psychic abilities and things like that. And that was kind of to morph into this working with energetics program I have coming on January 30th. All of these are going to be online on Zoom. So that's, you know, super easy for people to sign up. We're going to talk about ways to clear and heal your energy, especially those who are empaths and have a tendency to, you know, suck in people's energy every day. These are just going to be simple everyday practices that they can use to help clear other people's junk out of their energy. Super short. I think I'm going to do that one about 2 hours on the Monday night there. And then, of course, like I said, I'm a Kundalini Reiki teacher as well as a practitioner. And so I offer a 4-week course called Kundalini Reiki Crash Course. You get all of the attunements. I teach you about how to use the Kundalini Reiki, and you can become a fully certified Kundalini Reiki practitioner. And that starts January 31st. And then on February 1st, I have a new program starting that I am just so excited about. I can't even. It's called Divine Surrender. And the idea is that we're going to do a deep dive into self-awareness. We're going to understand the auric body and how to identify our behavioral patterns. There's some very deep shamanic journeys that my guides showed me that I'm going to take people on, as well as do some very targeted light language programming, because light language is basically a form of energetic programming. And I'm going to tell the story of how that came into my life. And then we're just going to do a much deeper approach to shadow work. This particular one is not for the faint of heart. It's going to be for 4 weeks. And there are very limited spots, and two of them are actually already filled. And then on February 2nd, this is something I'm doing monthly on the portal days. So we did one on the 1st of January. Well, the 2nd technically, because you can still harness the energy. This one we're doing on the 2nd of February. I'll do one on the 3rd of March, et cetera. So it's like the day and the month are the same. It's a light language transmission basically you come in, I talk about kind of the theme for a few minutes, and then I lead you through a journey that my guides channel through me. And we do basically an activation for whatever the theme is for that month. February is looking like, because it's twos and the angel number two is around trusting, that this one's going to be around peace and trust. I haven't fully downloaded that because they usually wait till the week before. But that's a really great way for people to really find out if they want to work with me, because it's only $22 Canadian, and it's very short. You get about an hour of my time, and it's just a quick little, activation for you to kind of step into the energy of whatever we're working with that month. And like always, I'm always offering the personal sessions, light language. You can get a specific light language, and you can also do the energy healing sessions as well. And I always encourage people, if you're not sure, let's chat, book a discovery call, and let's talk about what I offer that you might be interested in. Or if I'm not the right practitioner for you, that's okay too. And we can talk about that. And maybe there's another practitioner I know that might be helpful for you.